Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Back with you this week. Hope everyone had a tremendous Christmas holiday. Hopefully some time off, maybe some more time off this week. But we're back with you here on the air each day at 11 o'clock. The replay most days if you miss our live program at 3 o'clock. And, of course, you can always find us as a podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're also on SoundCloud. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And, of course, today there's a lot to get to. Indiana basketball with a tough loss last night. Indiana extended their lead. Things were looking pretty good at one point, and they lose to Arkansas at home. It's not a good loss. Not that there ever is a good loss for a college basketball team, but it's really not a good loss for their NCAA tournament resume. If you think back about it, when Indiana made that nice little surge to close the Big Ten season last year and did not get into the tournament but was close, people discussed the national media heads, the folks breaking down college basketball resumes. They went back and encircled the Arkansas game. Of course, last year the regular season matchup was in Fayetteville as a reason, a loss, a key to Indiana not making the NCAA tournament. And not that this season will mirror that, but if Indiana does go on and makes a run and is close, this could be a game that could be a difference maker. Any of these non-conference losses could be, and especially a game like this at home. Indiana, you would think, needed to get this one heading into Big Ten play. A very tough opener in the Big Ten Conference with Maryland coming up after the new year on this coming Saturday. But Indiana just couldn't get it done. Trace Jackson Davis, big game once again last night, or at least a big first half, but he got three shots in the second half of play. Which is just not enough for the way that he's been playing and the way that he's been leading this team. But Indiana loses, I don't know any other way to say it. It's a tough one, and I want to say it's a bad loss for this team, given what's ahead in the Big Ten Conference and given how hard road victories are in college basketball, especially the Big Ten. This was one Indiana needed to get at home to maybe take just a tad of pressure off in the Big Ten. One less win maybe that Indiana needed to have in the conference. And again, losing in the fashion they did after having an 11-point lead on their home floor with Assembly Hall really rocking, just not a good close to the day. Also, we'll talk today about IU football headed to the Gator Bowl, or I should say in Florida for the Gator Bowl, a big opportunity for this program. And I am excited about the game. Obviously, I'm excited for Indiana to be there. Fun to be talking IU football as we head into the new year. This is going to help the program recruiting. We've discussed that a lot. Indiana's got a lot of reason to be excited about next year's football team, no matter what happens here in a few days with a lot of key returning players, I think, plus some incoming recruits. And again, the recruiting momentum they're going to get from this bowl game opportunity as well. But I think this the most exciting part of it is this is going to be a really good football game. Every account that I've read, every pregame story that I've read so far has this marked maybe as one of the more competitive opportunities for a bowl game out there. And so I think that on top of it being a bowl game for Indiana, it's going to be a bowl game that is a good one and very competitive and potentially close down the stretch as well. And I've seen lots of reports. It looks like ticket sales, both from Indiana and Tennessee perspectives, have been really good. You would expect Tennessee, although they're kind of have dropped off some, you would expect their traditional fan base, a lot like Indiana basketball, to really travel, especially to a bowl game in Florida. Indiana, apparently doing the same. Some really good ticket numbers that are out there right now for this bowl game coming up here in just a few days. So a lot to talk about. Also, later in the program, we'll talk about big recruiting day yesterday, even though it wasn't a loss on the floor. It was a loss, I should say, on the floor for Indiana. They had some key recruits in Bloomington for the game yesterday. Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek was there, and also Christian Lander of Evansville Rights, both in Bloomington for the game, for the loss at home against Arkansas on Sunday night. Let's jump into the show lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines brought to you by Zaxby's, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join us. Zach is en route to the bowl game, and he's still going to join us, though, for his Monday segment. We'll recap IU Arkansas, talk about some of the specifics from the game. We'll talk about how the loss affects IU's NCAA tournament resume. I know it's crazy to talk about the tournament as we sit here in late December, but it's kind of how things are nowadays. You can kind of you have some idea of what matters and what doesn't, and what wins are big, and looking back on past seasons, how a win or loss against a non-conference team like Arkansas has affected Indiana when they've been a borderline team, a bubble team, and we'll talk some with Zach about that as well. Then later in the show, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, the football writer for Pigs, he's going to join me. We're going to talk some IU football. We'll get you all ready for the bowl game against Tennessee down at the Gator Bowl. That will be lots of fun, and we'll do all that in our program today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch that'll be made to order for you. Don't forget you can interact with the show. Really started getting a number of questions before we took our little holiday break last week, and love for that to continue. You can tweet me. You can Facebook us on our show's page. Follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, Hoosier Hills, all one word, the username. You can tweet me a question or comment there. Facebook, we have a page for the show, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can search for that. You can like that. You can get our podcast there. You can get other updates on the show. You can also send us a message or comment there, and perhaps it'll get read on the air today or used as a question for one of our guests in today's program. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And obviously, Indiana and Arkansas last night, a disappointing loss for Indiana. The way that the game ended, how the second half went, a 71-64 loss for Indiana. And I think when you look at the box score, obviously Trace Jackson Davis is the standout performer. He had 20 points in that contest, but just three shots attempted in the second half of play, which is amazing based on how well he's been playing overall and even how well he was playing last night in the first half of play, that this Indiana team could not locate him more in the post on the wing for potential scoring opportunities. Only three attempted shots in the second half, not going to cut it for a player like him. Indiana, though, last night, in addition to the 20 from Jackson Davis, Devontae Green was the next highest scorer with 14 points for Devontae Green. And again, we saw some good moments from Devontae in the game last night, and we saw some bad moments from Devontae Green in the game last night. But definitely not the way Indiana wants to see that game end, that game close out. Is Arkansas able to take control back of the contest and go on to win last night? The final 8 minutes of the game last night, really ugly offensively, especially for this Indiana team. I thought they had a lot of chances late in that final stretch to push their lead, which was an 11-point lead at one point, to maybe even a bigger margin and put things in the freezer, but that did not happen. If you go back down, and I saw Alex Bozich on the InsideTheHall.com website, he broke down Indiana's possessions in the final, 8 minutes and 8 seconds. And if you go through all the happenings in that 8 minutes, 8 seconds, just a very dismal period of the game for the Indiana team. The 12 possessions, and that led to just 3 points. And again, from that final 8 minutes, not a single shot attempt for Jackson Davis. in the game last night. The other thing interesting is Al Durham got ejected fairly early into the game, and obviously a flagrant foul, an elbow to the face, and he has to sit out. Not something that we're used to seeing from Al Durham. It's almost like he kind of got caught up in some melee maybe between him and the Arkansas player Adrio Bailey. But nonetheless, a pretty blatant elbow to the face, and to see him go out, to see him go down, to see him not be able to play obviously makes Indiana's roster even a little bit more shorter in a game like this where they're going to need Al Durham and all the guards and really all their players that log regular minutes in the second half of the game. Also, last night, how does this loss affect the NCAA tournament resume for the Hoosiers? You could effectively say last year that Indiana was basically one win away from a bid to the NCAA tournament. A lot of people, as I mentioned earlier, pointed to the Arkansas game down in Fayetteville last year as a key why maybe Indiana as a bubble team did not get into the tournament. And once again, here Indiana with a very tough Big Ten schedule ahead. Maryland, in fact, the next opponent for this team. They drop another game to Arkansas. Now, Arkansas has lost just one game. They are projected, however, in the SEC to not be one of the front runners. I don't even think they're in the middle of the pack, to be quite honest. But they've had a good season so far. Maybe they will do better than expectations are for them in the SEC, and maybe this loss, as we look back on it, won't sting or look as bad as what we think it will down the stretch with what is projected of Arkansas in the SEC conference when that play starts as well. But for now, I think you got to write this one down as a bad loss. Indiana had a chance to win. Indiana did not go to some of the players they should have went to or found a way to go to late in the second half. The Hoosiers lose one as they now open or reopen the Big Ten conference slate with a game at Maryland coming up. And, of course, Maryland, a dangerous team, although they've had their share of ups and downs and even some losses to the roster here recently as well. But still a interesting game, a challenging game, a game for Indiana that I know you'll forget long about the Arkansas game probably by tip-off of the Maryland game. But a lot more comfort knowing Indiana had won last night instead of the loss they did record. Heading into some of the games that are coming up for this Indiana team. And again, Maryland and Ohio State, some of the very early games in the Big Ten schedule for Indiana, which obviously we know those are going to be tough for this Indiana team, whether they're at home or whether they are at away. Yesterday was also a big recruiting day at Assembly Hall. Five-star point guard Christian Lander, he was in Bloomington, as was Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. Of course, Trey had a busy weekend. He played two games on Saturday, two tough games on Saturday with the Silver Creek team. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But taking in the game last night, I think Lander was walked out to his seat by Tom Ostrom, the associate head coach for Indiana. And so Indiana getting those guys on campus. Not a lot of windows with the college season and, of course, those kids in school and, of course, lots of basketball games, including over the holiday time. It used to be kind of a slow period in Indiana as far as high school stuff went, but it's really busy now with lots of holiday tournaments that have popped up over the last number of years. And so to get those guys on campus and for them to experience, even though it wasn't a win last night, for them to experience Assembly Hall in the manner that it was, basically at capacity and rocking at times, I'm sure bodes well for Indiana's and their opportunities to potentially land both of those guys. Quickly, a couple high school basketball notes. Some local teams did very well in holiday tournaments. Trey Coleman was very steady for the Jeffersonville Red Devils as they went up to Kokomo and were able to defeat previously unbeaten South Bend Adams for that championship on Saturday night. Also, this right here, very impressive. Christian Academy, they win the Forest Park tournament. Bailey Conrad and TJ Proctor had a huge championship game and really big week throughout, big couple days in Forest Park throughout as Christian Academy beat 4A East Central in the championship game, went undefeated at the tournament, really put together some great performances. I think this Christian Academy team is starting to click. I said earlier, even before the year started, this could be a special year for Christian Academy in 1A basketball in our state. And if they play like they did at Forest Park, knocking off a level of opponents there that they did, they could really have some success as the season goes on. And, of course, the postseason gets here as well. Also, New Washington made a run to the championship game of the Holiday Classic at Springs Valley. They were defeated by number 9 in 2A Paoli in that championship game by a large margin, 61-26, the final score. But still a good overall few days for New Washington, who picked up some more wins at that tournament as well. New Albany was in action at Noblesville, still without Julian Hunter. A tough weekend for New Albany. Of 8 teams, they finished in 7th place with a win over Andrean on Saturday afternoon. That was their only win. They lost on Saturday 2 games to both Crown Point on that first day of play as well. And, of course, New Albany looking to get Julian Hunter back potentially in the future, and still some potential there. Trey Horrigan with a solid weekend for the Bulldogs, but New Albany did struggle to come up with a victory in that opening day and did bounce back in the second day of the tournament in that consolation bracket game. Also, let's see here, Henryville, they were at the Jefferson County Classic. They finished 4th in that tournament, and that's kind of a rundown of some of our local teams and as far as tournaments go, where they were in action over the weekend. Got to mention Silver Creek as well. They were at the Hall of Fame Classic. What a game on Saturday morning to start the Classic against Heritage Hills. That game had a regional feel to it. Lots of players on both sides that are really good high school players and college prospects. It was an overtime game. Silver Creek able to find a way to win to get to the championship contest that night. They took on Lawrence Central, and I was really surprised. I thought for sure Lawrence Central would win. I've kind of bragged on them as being maybe in a class of their own this season. A lot of people say Lawrence North, Lawrence Central, maybe even Bloomington South, just a step ahead of everybody else in high school basketball this year. But Lawrence Central, I think, took a huge step on Saturday. Not only did they defeat the Dragons in the championship game, but they really waxed them, 63-31, the final score, a loss for Silver Creek. So Silver Creek, really good. Silver Creek, I think, probably undoubtedly the by far and away best 3A team right now in the state of Indiana. But Lawrence Central, Dre Davis, a Louisville recruit. They've got his brother as well, Nigel Pack, who is going to play at Kansas State. They were all really good on Saturday as the Lawrence Central team cruises over the Dragons to the Hall of Fame Classic in the championship game at Newcastle as well. That's a look at the headlines brought to you by Zaxby's. It's how we begin the show each day here on the program. Zaxby's is the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order, with Zaxby's locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will talk IU basketball, the loss to Arkansas. We'll talk a little IU football as well. All coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us, as always, on Mondays. A lot to talk about today as Indiana basketball falls 71-64 last night to Arkansas. And, of course, IU football gearing up for the Gator Bowl coming up here just after the new year. And, Zach, I think we should start with basketball last night. Obviously, a loss for the Hoosiers. And I don't think there's any way around calling this, labeling this, a bad loss. This is a game that Indiana was projected to win. It's a home game. Assembly Hall had a good feel last night. And the Hoosiers built a double-digit lead but just could not hang on, and they fall in what I classify a really a bad loss to close out non-conference play before the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think time will tell if it's a bad loss from an NCAA tournament perspective. I think it's certainly at very least. I mean, in best-case scenario, it's a missed opportunity, a potentially big missed opportunity from an NCAA tournament perspective. But I think it's a loss that reflects some of the weaknesses of this roster that you start to wonder. I mean, listen, what is today? December 30th? Like, we're 2 months into the season now. Indiana, at some level, I don't want to say is what it is, because teams keep getting better, but we're also deep enough into the season that we don't have to caveat small sample size, haven't played enough teams, you know, haven't seen them in enough different situations, whatever. We can be confident in starting to draw some more fundamental conclusions about this team this season. And I think it's concerning to see a team that's toppled in its offense so quickly. It's concerning to see a team that seems that was always going to struggle to, I don't want to say struggle to score, but struggle to be a consistently efficient offensive unit this year. It's not like we looked at this Indiana team and said there's five scorers and four shooters and, you know, three NBA guys on this team. They should be able to really run up some big numbers on the scoreboard. But that this team seems to place so much of its confidence in itself, in its offense, is a problem. And, you know, I think there's also a little bit, Archie Miller didn't want to play it up too much last night, though he did make the comparison. I think it's a little bit concerning to see Indiana basically have this happen against Notre Dame in the Crossroads Classic and then come back and have, I don't want to say the exact same thing, but something very similar happened at home against Arkansas and not really be able to recognize it just 8 days later and arrest it and stop, you know, this almost, I mean, a very, very sort of similar narrative playing out against them. You know, the sky's not falling. Indiana's 11-2. They still have some very nice wins on their resume. There's no Fort Wayne loss on there. There's no Indiana State loss on there. And there's plenty of quality to be had from your Big Ten schedule. But I also think that you can raise some very legitimate long-term concerns about this team's capacity for the rest of this season to handle adversity and to do what it needs to do to get into the tournament.
This talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. And by the way, Zach, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I know you're traveling right now. You gave me a heads up on that before we did the interview today, but you're on your way to be en route, at least, to the Gator Bowl. Is that correct?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yep, I'm headed to Jacksonville right now.
Gotcha. We can tell you're traveling at least in a vehicle right now. I think you told me you were on your way to the airport, so that will be a lot of fun. Back to basketball, though. It is interesting, I think, Zach, that a year ago, Indiana lost this same game to Arkansas, and when they did not make the tournament, despite a reasonable close to the Big Ten Conference later in the season, this was kind of one of the games that people went back and circled or talked about being kind of a crucial loss for Indiana. Of course, this time around, the game was at IU, and it also makes it, from an NCAA tournament perspective, and I know it's crazy to talk about the tournament, the NCAA tournament, when conference play hasn't fully started just yet, but with the way things are done and with the way resumes are built or not built in some cases, I think we've all gotten smarter about what makes a team an NCAA tournament team as the season move forward. So now this means that Indiana's going to have to win, obviously, another, maybe it's a tough road game that they could have got by without winning had they defeated Arkansas, or maybe it's another very tough Big Ten home game that they, you know, have to win now that maybe if they had lost and still had an Arkansas win at home on their resume. You just never know the little things that are going to make the difference down the road. So I think definitely, it's as you said, the sky's not falling, not the end of the world. Still lots of quality wins to be had if Indiana can do the right stuff in the Big Ten Conference. But this is a mark or an opportunity lost in many cases, I think, against their NCAA tournament resume.
Yeah, I don't think it is crazy to talk about the tournament, you know, in the sense that, you know, the committee has never come out and said, we don't care what you do in November or December. And I think I certainly don't think Indiana's players are, you know, looking at their net ranking and their tournament resume. They shouldn't be anyway, and I doubt they are. But it does come back to another sort of undercurrent about this team, which is that it doesn't seem to understand where its margin for error is. and that, you know, for Indiana, its margin for error is widened on defense first. And the ability to really knuckle down and just get stops and be fiercely difficult to score against every possession of every game. You think, for example, about that UConn game where Indiana certainly was not shooting the ball well, was not scoring it well at all, wasn't really getting anybody going. It, you know, doesn't score, doesn't put a single score in double figures. It wasn't like they win that game because one guy scores 22 points. Nobody was playing well offensively, and they still found a way to dig their heels in, fight back, and win. And that's the kind of win that if you, you know, you lose that game, you don't lose your mind about what it means to your NCAA tournament resume until, as you kind of talked about last season, you get to Selection Sunday and you think, geez, if we just could have closed out UConn at the Garden, imagine how much more comfortable we'd be today, or imagine what kind of matchup we get today, whatever it is. You win that game. It seems like one that you don't think about again until March, but you do that enough. You win enough of those games in November and December, and then certainly as you get into conference play, then all of a sudden you get to March and you look around and you say, oh yeah, we're fine. You know, we don't, this isn't even a question. We don't have to worry about this. And Arkansas was the kind of game where I don't think that's a terribly bad loss for Indiana, unless there's a scenario, and this is certainly possible, where Indiana and Arkansas almost seem to wind up competing for the same spot at the end of the tournament. And then of course it is a concern. But it's not a bad loss in the sense you look at it and say, oh, my God, how they lose to that team. But it is a missed opportunity that, as you said, you suddenly have to make up in conference play. And you start to have to say to yourself, well, do we have to grab a road win to compensate for the fact that this isn't on our schedule anymore, this isn't on our resume now? You know, do we have to look at a game like Michigan State at home or Ohio State at home and say, boy, we had better not lose that because we've already blown one opportunity. We can't afford not to blow another one. And you just create pressure. And again, I don't think that these guys are reading, you know, the stuff you and I do, Bracket Matrix and Lunardi and whoever else. I'm sure at some level they hear that stuff. I don't think you can tune it out completely. I doubt they follow it as religiously as fans. But as you get deeper into the season, you can't avoid, you know, your reality. And losing a game like this just going to make you a little bit more stressed. And listen, hey, if Indiana comes out, wins at Maryland next weekend, which I think is possible. I don't know, this coming weekend, I guess it's Monday now, I lose track of days around the holiday. I certainly think Indiana can beat Maryland, then beat Northwestern at home, and then upset Ohio State. And this is all in the past. And I know that that's a lot easier said than done, but those are three results that are not, none of those would shock anyone. And then Indiana would be 4-1 in conference, they'd be 14-2, they'd have quality wins on their resume, you know, they'd be ranked, and all of this would kind of be an afterthought. But a night like last night makes you wonder if this team is capable of getting its problems fixed, its flaws corrected for enough to win those kinds of games, to build that kind of consistency. Or is Indiana going to be fighting these 50-50 battles every single night? Because if you're going to do that and you can't score consistently, you're walking a real tightrope.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. We're going through IU basketball, their loss last night to Arkansas, and what it could even mean to the NCAA tournament resume of this team. Getting into some of the more details from the actual game last night, just things that stood out to me. Indiana's offense really seemed to sputter, I thought, in the final 8 minutes or so of the game. And one of the areas of sputtering, I guess you could say, is that Trace Jackson Davis, who overall had a really good game, rarely got the ball, rarely got touches as the game went on, and Indiana found itself ahead and then down, and of course eventually went on to lose the game. But just some things that you would think Indiana would go back to, some players they would have involved down the stretch, that didn't necessarily happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that happens a lot in college basketball in particular, and when a big man disappears, you know, there's kind of this fight to figure out who to blame. Is it the coach? Is it the player? Is it his teammates? It's all three, really. I think one of the things Archie Miller pointed out post-game that was probably a pretty big contributing factor was Indiana didn't get out on the break nearly as much in the second half. Arkansas made a real concerted effort to make Indiana play in the half court. And a lot of Trace Jackson Davis's points in the first half were coming either on the break or in that first sort of run of the offense out of the break when your defense probably still isn't terribly organized. And, you know, guys are getting picked up a little bit haphazardly, and you can create a mismatch and get a, you know, all of a sudden you look down, you look down low, and Trace Jackson Davis is being guarded by a guy who's only 6'3", 6'4", and so you can just throw him the ball, and he can go to work. I think Arkansas made more of an effort to get its bigs on Jackson Davis specifically in the second half. I thought Arkansas stopped letting Indiana have as much in transition, which is another thing that I think this team struggles with. I've said this before, I will say it again. Every team is better usually in transition offensively than they are in the half court, but this team in particular cannot throw away transition opportunities. Its half court offense just is not enough for it to be successful at the level that it wants to be this year. And I think that gets into another element, which is that Indiana as a team could not do the things that you need to do to free up a big man who's getting, you know, basically double the attention that Arkansas was giving Trace Jackson Davis. You know, Indiana's, once again, we're talking about a team that can't make threes. Indiana couldn't get Joey Brunk going consistently. He had a nice night. I don't know the box in front of me, but I think he may have had like 7 points, 11 rebounds. But it wasn't like Indiana could get, you know, a partner kind of in the post for Jackson Davis that would force Arkansas to say, well, maybe we can't double this guy. Maybe we can't hard front this guy, because all of a sudden they're just going to take advantage of that mismatch on the other side of the floor, on the other side of the block. You know, Indiana struggled with, I didn't think Indiana was particularly good in some of the ball screen actions they were trying to run to get Jackson Davis going. And then I think there's always an element of this, and Trace Jackson Davis said it himself postgame, when a big man disappears like that, some of it is also his assertiveness and whether or not he was aggressive enough, physical enough in his post-ups. You know, I think the way that Jackson Davis put it was, you know, I got to show him my numbers. I've got to be able to get so much established space in the paint that I can spread my arms wide and they can see the number on my jersey clearly enough to just throw the ball right there, and there's no way Arkansas can get to it without fouling me. It was a little bit of everything, but it's also something potentially repeatable. And so, again, I know I said that the sky isn't falling, and now I feel like I'm kind of sitting here and acting like it is a little bit. But I just do think that from Indiana's perspective, it was a game that it just sort of felt like a lot of the themes that it feels like will be consistent for Indiana when they lose this season manifesting themselves all, as you said, in about an 8-minute stretch in the second half. Arkansas finished the last 7:49 of that game on a 19-3 run. And if you're Indiana, it's not like you're not going to keep getting better. It goes on, but you are 2 months in. You've got to be aware enough and mature enough to correct some of these problems in real time, or this is going to happen again and again.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, Trace Jackson Davis, obviously 20 points in the game. Just 3 attempted shots, though, Zach, in the second half. Wow.
Yeah, and again, I can remember, and I'm sure some others can, you know, the this sort of thing used to happen to Cody Zeller a little bit, you know, and people would say, where did Cody go? Why isn't Cody involved in the offense? You know, who's to blame for this? And the truth is, it's a little bit of everybody. But if you're Indiana, again, I come back to the idea that your margin for error is not very wide. And offensively, it is at times razor thin. You cannot afford to be giving away some of these possessions. You cannot afford to not be able to fix the sort of simple fundamental things about your offense that need to work every single possession. Because if you can't, if you let that stuff get away from you, everything else breaks down.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, joining me always with us Mondays as we talk IU basketball. One final note on basketball, then I want to jump to football quickly, and then we'll let you go. I know you're trying to get out of town and head to the Gator Bowl. But uncharacteristic-like of Al Durham, to throw a pretty blatant elbow and get ejected from the game. Obviously, that affected, especially in the second half, the depth of this Indiana team. But that was something that I don't know that I've ever seen that level of aggressiveness or anything close to that from him in his career so far until last night.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I do think it is uncharacteristic. I think he maybe got pulled into the wars a little bit there. You know, some of the stuff that can happen that you don't see a lot of, you know, the shot to the ribs, the, you know, kind of the extra shoulder, the stuff that maybe doesn't get picked up on, never gets called, but I think anybody who's ever played organized sports knows happens. You know, the number of times when I was, not to be off color, but the number of times when I played high school football, an opposing player politely checked to see if I was wearing certain protective gear around my midsection, shall we say. You know, the things that happen a lot, and just every once in a while, somebody gets a little bit of a rush of blood to the head, and you know, it's the old cliche of the first guy who swings the punch never gets caught. It's the second guy who throws the punch always does. And, you know, watching the replay, it was impossible to argue. And Archie Miller said post-game, number one, he didn't really argue the call. And number two, he said that was out of character for Al Durham, and I think he's right. I do think it hurt Indiana. I think Indiana really needed an extra perimeter body late in that game, because it did not look like Rob Fittis. He was at full effectiveness, which I guess is just going to be an ongoing thing at this point this season. But one way or the other, you know, from Indiana's perspective, I wouldn't expect it to happen again, but it did hurt last night.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. You're headed to the Gator Bowl. We're going to talk more about the bowl game coming up here later in the program, but I'm curious, as the game draws near, we're almost to the new year, we're almost to the Gator Bowl, and seeing Indiana football back out on the field, what are your thoughts about this game for Indiana?
I think it's fascinating. I think it's a contrast of styles that actually should lend itself to a good game. I think those can sometimes be the best bowl games, especially the ones that aren't, you know, the real upper tier ones, the ones where you just get a lot of elite athletes on the field. But I think, you know, it's the kind of game where you've got two teams that there's a real tug of war between the type of game these two teams are going to want to play. Not to get too cliche about it, I think it may come down a little bit to how seriously Tennessee's taking Indiana. I have gotten a little bit of a vibe that Tennessee's just not sure what to make of IU, because of IU's sort of present versus its past, and it's, you know, this season versus history and things like that. But I think Tennessee is, from a physical perspective, they're a very good team defensively. They've got SEC bodies, they've got some SEC level speed, they're going to be difficult to deal with in that respect. And then if you're Indiana, you've got to be able to limit their ground game enough to be able to really get at their quarterback, because Jared Guarantano is an improved quarterback, but I don't think he's necessarily a guy that, unless you allow him to get into a great rhythm, I don't think he's necessarily a guy that's going to be able to, you know, put up a big number by himself. So if Indiana's offense can get going in this game, I like Indiana. I like Indiana's ability to keep it competitive. And I think it's important that Kalen DeBoer is sticking around to call the bowl game for that reason. But I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a close game. I think probably the hardest result for me to see is a 2-touchdown-plus win in either direction, unless something weird happens, an injury or something like that. I'm fascinated by the matchup and looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Happy New Year, Zach. Thanks for taking time out as you make your way to the airport to head to the bowl game. We appreciate all of your insight, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us Mondays. He's our IU expert on Mondays as we talk IU basketball and IU football throughout the season. And as Zach mentioned, some interesting games coming up for this Indiana basketball team, with that Arkansas game in the books on Sunday night. Now it's Big Ten games moving the rest of the way forward, starting Saturday with a game at Maryland. And, of course, Maryland, a good team. They've had some interesting things happen as far as losses and even not just losses on the playing floor, but some transfers from that program recently as well. And then, of course, Northwestern, the next game after Maryland before Indiana takes on somebody that I think right now one of the top college basketball teams out there in Ohio State on January 11th, a week from this Saturday. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll go more in-depth into the bowl game. Matt Weaver of Pigs.com is going to join us here on Monday as we take a look at Indiana in the Gator Bowl against the Tennessee Volunteers. The team, obviously, in Florida and ready for the game and practicing, making their final preparations. And, of course, we'll spend the new year there as well. And IU fans and Tennessee fans as well, excited about the game. There have been some good reports about attendance and ticket sales, which is exciting to see. This will be a bowl game that really matters for this Indiana team. And by all accounts out there, whether you're looking at the betting line or you're reading some of the previews out there, people think this will be a very competitive football game. So we'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we will talk with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, the football writer for Pigs.com, about the bowl game and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment is Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, the IU football writer for Pigs. And, of course, today we're going to talk about the upcoming Gator Bowl appearance for this IU football team. Matt, both teams in Florida for the Gator Bowl. Both teams have had some opportunities and will have more opportunities to practice and make final preparations before the big game coming up here just after the new year. What's the trip been like for the IU side of things as far as when did they depart? How many practices will they get? What are some of the other activities that come along with a bowl game appearance at the Gator Bowl?
Well, they got down there on Saturday, the 28th. I think they had their first practice yesterday. Just had a practice this morning. In fact, Mike Pegram, Peaks, is down there right now and just put up some video of Coach Allen meeting with the media. And I think he has a little bit. I think a little bit of the practice was open. I'm not down there yet, but I think a little bit of the practice was open, and he shot some video of that. There's some players made available, so we'll have that as well. But they practiced yesterday. I don't think there was any media availability for yesterday's practice, and then obviously, like I said, today. And you know, it seems like so far, you know, that's going good. I'm sure they got some activities planned. I think later today they're going to be going to the Topgolf down there in the Jacksonville area, the team will, and they'll be doing that. And I'm sure there's some other activities between now and Thursday that they'll be experiencing down there in Jacksonville. But, you know, so far it seems like it's been a good trip for the team and for the coaches and players.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, my guest. Let's talk a little bit about this matchup, Matt. Everything that I have seen, everything that I have read so far, lots of people think this will be a very competitive game.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I didn't obviously with, you know, Tennessee not being in the Big Ten, you know, didn't get to watch them a ton. I actually watched them a little bit when they played Kentucky late in the year. I can't remember if you had an off that week or what, but it was a close game. That was when Kentucky was, you know, without their quarterback and was basically playing wide receiver at quarterback, and it was a close game. And I think Tennessee stopped them late, but didn't really have a chance to watch them a ton. You know, tried to do a little bit of research on them. I mean, you know, passing attack is a little bit spotty, but they do make some big plays there. Their completion percentage isn't great. You know, they're probably, I would think they'll really try to come out and try to establish the run and then maybe take some shots when Indiana, you know, they see some opportunities to do that. You know, defensively, they're going to be big and athletic, going to be an SEC-type defense. I mean, Coach Allen compared them to Penn State from a talent standpoint. That's probably pretty fair. I'd say Penn State or Michigan State. You know, but they're on a roll. They won five in a row to win to end the regular season to get in this bowl game. And so, you know, while it's not a vintage SEC team or vintage Tennessee team, it's still a team that Indiana's going to have to play well to beat.
At WeaverPeaks.com, talking about the upcoming appearance for IU, the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl in Florida. This is obviously, and I know we've discussed this some, but it's here now. This is obviously a big recruiting opportunity for Indiana football as well, to extend the season, to play in a bowl game in Florida where Coach Allen has previous connections and has done some recruiting there already. But I would have to think that time in Florida, exposure in Florida, and generally just a bowl game appearance at the level of the Gator Bowl has to really help things moving forward in the coming weeks and the coming months for this Indiana team and their recruiting efforts once the season does come to a close.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think another thing is I mean, obviously being in a bowl game, you know, no matter what it is beneficial for your program and for selling on the recruiting trail. But this one, obviously being, you know, this time of the year, it's obviously one of the more high profile games. And not only that, you're the only game on Thursday night. There's a game earlier in the day, but you know, this isn't one of those games where there's maybe another game or two that overlaps with it. So people can pick and choose. You're the show on Thursday night, nothing on the NFL, you know, no other bowl games. So, you know, it gives you kind of national exposure, you know, to people, to those prospects you're recruiting if you're Indiana. So it gives you a chance to make a statement, to really show, you know, maybe kids who are in another part of the country don't get Big Ten Network or don't get to see all your games. You know, this is their chance to kind of watch you and watch you against an SEC team. So, like I said, even though it's not a vintage Tennessee team, it's still the SEC, and it still would be obviously a signature win for Indiana football.
Matt, storylines as far as some of the IU players, refresh us on injuries, refresh us on where things stand for some of the key positions in this game coming up later this week.
Well, it sounds like the guy who's the most up in the air is Stevie Scott, which obviously is a substantial, you know, guy to have up in the air because of, you know, obviously what he's done. You know, Samson James played great in the Purdue game, but, you know, we saw what happened when he got a little bit banged up late in that game. They were kind of limited. So, you know, I think it's still a game, you know, my guess is it's going to be a game time decision, which, you know, we've seen how those gone this year for the most part. The game time decision means the guy's not going to play. I'm not saying that's the case for this one, but, you know, I don't think they'll probably know until maybe the day before the game or even the day of the game how he's doing or if he's ready to go. Matthew Bedford is the other guy that obviously late in the year he missed the Purdue game. When I was at practice last week, he was practicing. He looked fine to me. He was moving good, so I would think he was okay. Samson James, you know, had the ankle injury in the Purdue game, and he looks fine. And he's been practicing, so I don't think there's anybody else. I mean, Donovan Hale missed the Purdue game, and they've already announced he's not playing. But they didn't have him for Purdue, so they're kind of, you know, they kind of already have, they already know what that's like. So I don't think there's really anybody else, unless something's cropped up in one of these practices that we haven't seen. But they, for the most part, what they went into the last few weeks of the season, they should be about the same team. Obviously, you know, Stevie Scott's the big one, but other than that, it's for this time of the year, it's a pretty healthy team.
Matt, I've seen reports, I've seen a couple stories out there that ticket sales have been really good for this game. And, of course, Tennessee has the tradition, maybe not success as of late, but definitely a strong college football tradition, so no surprise there. But it does sound like that the Indiana fans taking advantage of this bowl game and taking advantage maybe of a trip to Florida in the holidays, in the middle of the winter, for some football. By all accounts, it sounds like Indiana and the fan base and the team will be well represented at the Gator Bowl.
Yeah, I think there was a quote from somebody affiliated with the Gator Bowl, and I don't remember his name, but basically saying that outside of Penn State, Indiana has done the best job of selling their tickets, or the fans have done the best job of buying them up, however you want to look at it, as far as the Big Ten teams who've gone down there to play. So, and obviously Penn State's a program that obviously travels well, and you know, their fans, great fan support. So the fact that Indiana's right up there with them, I think it's that's great. Not only for this game, but it going forward, you know, bowl games are going to be more, you know, you're going to be more appealing to bowl games as a program, and as a potential invitee if your fans are showing that they're going to travel. So this is big not only for this game, but just for future years when Indiana, you know, makes bowl games, that those games will know, hey, they'll travel well, they'll come to the games, and you know, they'll buy up the tickets. So you know, kudos to the IU fans for doing that. And it sounds like it's going to be pretty close to a full stadium.
Talking with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com about the Gator Bowl, Indiana and Tennessee. Once this game is over with, Tom Allen, he's going to be searching for a new play caller on offense for this team. Who are potential candidates for the offensive coordinator spot? Or is it too early to even think about that? Do you think that's something that has to be on Coach Allen's mind, I would assume?
Well, I think he's talked to some guys. I mean, I put out a hot board, but, you know, it's more of a hot board and name only. There's quite a few names on there. It's more guys that I think make sense based on what I think he'll be looking for. And as far as definitive names, really none out there. I don't think the process will start until after the bowl game, beginning of next week. You have the coaches convention in Nashville, Tennessee. I think it's like the 12th through the 14th. That's another opportunity if he has not made up his mind by then to talk to some more people, because all the coaches in the country will be in one place. So it's really easy to, you know, maybe do some interviews, some face-to-face time with guys. But I'm sure he's had conversations on the phone. I would be surprised if there's been any kind of formal interviews to this point. Like I said, I think that stuff will take place after they get back home and they kind of get settled back in and then obviously start the kind of off season part of the year. So, it'd be interesting. I think maybe look at in-house as a Nick Sheridan, possibly a Mike Hart. But then I think there's going to be great interest in this position because of what they got returning, the skill players, the talent, and just where this program is headed and the job security that obviously Tom Allen got with the new contract. I think they're going to have, along with the guys, who'll be interested in it.
Matt, safe travels to the Gator Bowl. Thanks for all your coverage and coming on with us this season.
Okay, take care, guys. Thanks.
That's going to wrap things up here on this Monday edition of the program. Back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.